Reading Sefer Tehillim with the Perush Ma'am Lois by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. This is Shir number 3. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 4, Pasuk 8. I'm going to repeat the Pasuk. Nosato Simcha Belibi Be'eis Degonim Besiroshim Rabu. You have put gladness in my heart since when their grain and their wine increase. Many live in a state of unrelieved despondency, weighed down by a perpetual sense of having been deprived. Consequently, they are continually pursuing the vanities of this world in a desperate endeavor to fill their lack. The contrary is true of me. You have put gladness in my heart, since when their grain and their wine increase, this happy trait of mine is also from you. You have put gladness. Because I am glad when even my enemies enjoy the good, my sleep is sweet, as found the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. I do not fear their hatred, for I place my trust in you alone, O Hashem. The present verse is also interpreted in accordance with the following episode about the Ramban. When he went up to Yerushalayim and beheld its plentiful fruits, he was anguished to see the land giving off its bounty to others. He approached the western wall and cried out, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, you are like a nursing mother whose own son has taken ill. To keep her milk from spoiling, she is compelled to nurse other infants until such time that her own child will be healed and resumes feeding. So also you, O holy city, so long as your sons were with you, you fed them right out of your great abundance. If now you continue to feed others, it is a sign of a hope that your own sons will return to you. Simba King David says here, you have put gladness in my heart since when their grain and their wine increase. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. B'shalom yachtov eshkevo ve'ishan ki ato Hashem levodot levetach toshivim ni. In peace I will gather together, both lie down and sleep, for you, Hashem, alone make me dwell in security. Speaking of the many who oppose him at this time, including the people who abandoned him and joined Absalom, David expresses a longing to live in peace with them. In peace will I together lie down and sleep. How I yearn to be at peace with them. We shall both then be able to lie down and sleep in an untroubled sleep. I know that this will take place. They will return to me, for you, Hashem, alone, make me dwell in security. I am firm in my trust that you will grant my desire and make me dwell in security even with them. Then again, David says, although my enemies are near and another man in my place would be unable to sleep out of fear, in peace will I both lie down and sleep. Even though they are so near that they are together with me, yet will I sleep peacefully, for you, Hashem, alone, I love no one else but you. Make me dwell in security. I am assured that you will watch over me, and I do not fear them. Having offered a prayer for light, King David also asked to be worthy of the gift of peace. Similarly, the priestly benediction includes a benediction for both light and peace, as it says in Chumash Bamidbar, may Hashem place his countenance upon you and give you peace. It's one of the three psukim, three verses that's found in the Birchas HaKohanim. He asked for the serenity of being able to lie down and sleep, both. That is, let him fall asleep immediately upon lying down. May God make me dwell in security even when I'm alone. For when there is peace for the many that dwell together, there's also peace for the individual. Hence the special emphasis of the literal reading, in peace together. When those who are together are at peace, I will lie down and sleep. How? For you, Hashem, when I'm alone, make me dwell in security. David says further, even when I will be alone in the grave, you will make me dwell in security. According to the teaching of our sages, that David, king of Israel, lives and endures, David is saying, my body will not be touched by worms. David hints that before he retires to his couch, he forgives his enemies. He does not permit the curses of his enemies to enter his bed with him. Then again, in continuation of the previous verse, he says, whenever the grain and wine increase, there is peace in the world. As it says, and I will give peace in the land, and you will lie down, and none will make you afraid. A pasuk that's found in the Chumash Vayikra. Accordingly, the scripture says here, when the grain and the wine increase in peace, will I together lie down and sleep. When there is an abundance in the world, it is a sign that the leaders of the generation are tzaddikim. The opposite is true about the wicked, as it says, and it was in the days of the judging of the judges, a pasuk that's found in Rus. Our sages comment there was a time when the judges were being judged by their generation. Consequently, the same verse concludes, and there was a famine in the land. Now we come to chapter 5, pasuk 1. Lamnetzeach el hanchilos mizmor de David, for the conductor upon the nechilos, the flutes, the psalm of David. King David declares his trust in Hashem, who watches over the righteous and abominates the wicked. He asks for divine guidance and assistance to smooth the way before him, and calls for retribution against the wicked. He declares his belief that the greatest good is reserved for the tzaddik. The psalm opens with, for the conductor upon the nechilos. One interpretation is based on the meaning of nechilos as swarms. David offers a prayer that is directed against the vast armies which come upon Israel like swarming bees. Others explain that the sound they make was like the buzzing of bees. According to the Medrash, it refers to the murmurings against them by Doeg and Achitophel. Then again, nechilos is understood as the plural of nachal inheritance. David sings of the two aspects of his inheritance, the Davidic line of royalty in this world and in the world to come. Some link Nechilos to the meaning of Nachla as painful, as it says, my wound is grievous. The pasuk that's found in Yirmiyahu. The scripture conveys that David accepted his afflictions with joy. The Medrash says that four psalms should probably have been sung by Adam, but instead was sung by David. They are the earth is Hashem's, and the heavens proclaim the glory of Hashem. That's chapter 24 and chapter 19, because Adam is the first to behold the heavens and the earth. The present psalm upon inheritances, because he was the first to take possession of the world, and the psalm of song for the Shabbos, chapter 92, because he was the first to experience the Shabbos. Pasuk base, Pasuk 2. Amorai ha'azina Hashem bino ha'gigi. Give ear to my words, O Hashem, consider my meditation. The previous verse introduced the present psalm, which now properly begins with a plea. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. David says, when I have the strength to ask that you grant my needs, give ear to my words, and when I do not have the strength to entreat you, consider my meditation, understand the musings of my heart. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Hakshiva lekol shavi malki velohoi ki elecha espalo. Hearken to the voice of my cry, O my King and my God, for you, to you I will pray. The psalm continues as King David asks God to attend to the voice of my cry. Hearken to the voice of my cry in the merit of my total trust in you alone. The scripture teaches every man in trouble to speak directly to Hashem. Often we are so overcome by illness that we fail to know its cause, and then we plead before God to attend to us and make known our deficiency. As Daniel said, O Lord, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and behold our desolations. The pasuk that's found in Sefer Daniel. It is not enough for me that I turn to him in prayer. I ask that he himself look to see us. When the physician looks at a patient, it makes the patient feel that he is receiving better treatment, since the physician sees more in a direct examination. Similarly, David says, my soul thirsts for God. When will I come and appear before Hashem? God knows my deficiency better than I do, so I will cry out to him and entreat him through prayer. Hearken to the voice of my cry, O my King and my God. Prayer affirms our faith in the reality of divine providence, for we acknowledge that God acts in accordance with his will. Thus it is wrong to say while praying, I am not worthy that my prayer be heard. For the Holy One, blessed be He, responds to prayer not as a kind of reward for merit, but out of loving kindness. Hashem accepts the plea even when the petitioner is not worthy. Thus David says here, "Hearken to the voice of my cry, simply because I turn to you in prayer. Then people will know that you are my King and my God. My King, you attend to prayers like a king attending to the needs of his people, and like a king you could do anything you want to do. My God, you are omnipotent in accordance with your will. You can act on behalf of anyone even when he does not deserve it. But to you I pray. You are the source of loving kindness and will answer me out of loving kindness. Hearken to the voice of my cry. Answer my prayer because it is expressed with devout intention and perfectly enunciated. Heed my plea because I beseech you with the voice of my cry. That is crying in a voice of submission and with a broken spirit. But answer me too because you are my God and because my prayer is to you. I appeal directly to you and not to any intermediary." Then again, David says, "Hearken to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I pray, not only in times of trouble, but also in times of well-being." Thus the scripture says about one who prays to God only when he's in trouble, "But they have turned their back on me, not their faces, but in time of their trouble they will say, Arise and save us." A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yirmiyahu. The Talmud says, "Honor the physician before you have need of him. As it says, Hashem is close to all of them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." As we will learn later on in chapter 145. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Hashem, boke tishma koli, boke erach l'cho v'atzapim. O Hashem, in the morning you will hear my voice, in the morning will I set my prayer before you, and I will look forward. O Hashem, in the morning you will hear my voice. I call you in the morning, a time set aside for the wicked to be judged, as it says, morning by morning will I destroy all the wicked of the land. It's a pasuk that's found in Sefer Tehillim, chapter 101. In the morning will I set my prayer before you, and I will look forward to see your judgment executed. The singer declares, "Your way is not like the ways of flesh and blood." To wait for an act of loving kindness from a human being is to wait many seasons, and even then it is not certain that one's wish will be granted. But you, O Hashem, in the morning you hear my voice, and in the very same morning I set before you, I look forward, I expect your deliverance at once. David says, "I rise in the morning to offer my prayers. In the morning you are ready to welcome my desire, my prayer to you. However, first will I set before you, and I will look forward. I will delay for an hour in order to examine and arrange and prepare what I will say to you. Only after this delay will I pray to you. Thus would all men of piety conduct themselves in ancient times." The literal meaning of the word erach, erachom, "I will evaluate," like we have in that pasuk, the pasuk says, "V'erach l'chov etzapim." David says, "I will behold your absolute greatness and compare it to my lowly state before you. Then, when my prayer rises out of the state of utter self-abnegation, its acceptance is assured." At other times during the day, a man's prayers are scrutinized to see if they are fit for acceptance, but not so in the morning. Not like man's measure is God's measure. Once a man has presented a gift to another man, it is no longer available to someone else. But it is otherwise when you, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice, and on another morning I set my prayer before you to receive what I have asked of you. Then again, David says, "I suffer, but my afflictions do not cause me to neglect the study of Torah and my prayers. It is a sign that they are afflictions due to God's love for me." Thus he says here, "O Hashem, in the morning you hear my voice, my prayer, and in the morning will I set before you, and I will look forward to suffering. O Hashem, in the morning you hear my voice, in the morning I set before you, and I look forward. The Talmud relates about Rabbi Yisrael that before preparing his daily food from the provisions in his possession, he would ask God for sustenance. After concluding his regular prayers, he would declare, I will not prepare the food I have until you grant me food from the palace of the king. Similarly, David says, listen to my voice and my cry, my king and my lord. For to you I pray, O Hashem, in the morning you hear my voice, and in the morning will I set before you, and I will look forward. Every morning we offer our prayers just as the sun emerges to shine upon the earth. Thereby we acknowledge that the heavens are the heavens of Hashem, but the earth he has given to the children of men. This is a pasuk that we're going to find later on in Sefer Tehillim, chapter 115. The morning prayer was said by Avram. After him, Yitzchak said the midday mincha prayer, when the sun was ready at his height, and Yaakov said the Marah prayers in the evening. They all affirmed that the hosts of heaven carry out the will of their Maker. Similarly, David says here, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice, in the morning will I set my prayer before you, and I will look forward, but the unruly will not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. They think that everything happens in accordance with the pattern of nature, and that the world is abandoned to chance. Pasuk 5. For you are not a God who desires wickedness. Evil will not abide even temporary with you. For you are not a God who desires wickedness. I know that you have no desire for the wicked, and you will spurn my enemies who are wicked men. Therefore I look forward to the time when you will deliver me from them. The Midrash says you are not a God who desires wickedness, and so you will not condemn your creatures, because evil will not abide with you. You cannot but excuse and exonerate them, for they could not otherwise dwell in your presence, as it is your way to bestow goodness upon your creatures in order to enable them to abide in your presence. You cannot condemn them in judgment. The literal meaning of Lo Yugurchom, as found in our pasuk, is will not abide temporary with you, and the corresponding interpretation reads, not only will evil not abide with you constantly, but you do not desire it about you even temporarily, for your thoughts are not as the thoughts of the wicked man, and your ways are not his ways. Evil will not abide with you. The same is true for man's soul. If one does not safeguard the purity of his soul, Hashem cannot dwell together with her. Evil will not abide with you. Our sages teach, what is evil will not abide with you. No one but angels of peace stand before Hashem, blessed be He. Angels of fury and rage are far from Him. Pasuk 6. Lo yisyatsu holilim neged einechos v'neiso kol po'alei oven. The unruly will not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. The unruly are those who live wickedly because of their folly. Thus the Talmud says that a man does not commit transgression unless a spirit of madness has entered him. Their frenzy keeps them far from God, who hates all workers of iniquity. Pasuk 7. Te'abe dovrei chazav ish tamim umirmo yisoyf Hashem. You destroy them that speak falsehood. The Lord abominates the man of blood and deceit. Because you destroy them that speak falsehood, the Lord abominates the man of blood and deceit. It cannot be otherwise than that evil will not abide even temporary with you. Now, kozev means insincerity, saying one thing with the mouth and another thing with the heart. Thus, the scripture warns that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. As the pasuk says, the Chumash Shemos, "Lo yizach ha'choshen mi'alu ephod." Ephod is numerically equivalent to peh, mouth, and the breastplate is worn over the heart. In other words, the scripture hints at the admonition that one must not permit a difference to arise between the mouth and the heart, the man of blood and deceit. There are people who speak evil against others in a concealed manner, pretending that it was never their intention to malign anyone. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Vani berov chastacho ovo veisecho ishtachaveh el heichal kotcho birusecho. But as for me, through the abundance of your loving kindness, I will come into your house. I will bow down towards your holy temple in fear of you. After having declared that the unruly will not stand in your sight and the wicked will not abide with God, David says here, but as for me, I am not like that. Through the abundance of your loving kindness, I will come into your house. Because I am kept safe through your abundant loving kindness, I will assuredly come into your house. I will bow down towards your holy temple where your Shekhinah is placed. My coming will be in fear of you. Thus the scripture says, be in fear of my sanctuary. I am the Lord. The pasuk is found in Chumash Vayikra. When you destroy them that speak falsehood against me, I will come into your house. It's a pasuk that we learned just before. I will bow down towards your holy temple in fear of you. Then again, David says, when I come into your house, I bring no meal offering with me, nor do I come to bow down like those who bring the first fruit offering, where it says, and you will be set it down before Hashem your God, and you will bow down before Hashem your God. Pasuk is found in Chumash Devarim. I only come with my fear of you, and once I'm there to bow down before you. Even at the moment that you bestow your loving kindness upon me, I am not proud, but I bow down towards your holy temple in fear of you. The act of bowing down was an expression of David's submission and self-abasement before his Creator. Although I was being pursued and persecuted, I yearned only for my soul's well-being. I was grieved that I lacked the light for my soul to be joyous in the house of Hashem. Similarly, David says further, my soul thirsts for Hashem, for the living God. And when he was on the run from Absalom, he said, carry back the ark of Hashem into the city. If I will find favor in the eyes of Hashem, he will bring me back and show me both it and his inhabitation. Pasuk that's found in Shmuel Beis. David also says, when one comes into the palace of a king of flesh and blood, at first he's afraid. But then, after one is already inside, his mind is set at ease and he's no longer filled with fear. I am different. Even after I've come into your house and have bowed down, I'm still in fear of you. Some explained that David recalls the time when he was fleeing from Absalom. He then said, although many proclaim that I have been cut off from sharing in the godly inheritance, that I'm not worthy of cleaving to you, I placed my trust in you. I will come into your house, I said. I will bow down towards your holy temple in fear of you. Thus the scripture relates that David had then prayed, and show me both it and his habitation. But as for me, through the abundance of your loving kindness, because your loving kindness is so great, far in excess of my deserts, I will come into your house. I will bow down towards your holy temple in fear of you. Even when I stand in your holy temple, I am afraid that you will remove your supervision from me, for you have already bestowed so much loving kindness upon me. I become fearful that you will not answer me. Then again, David says, when I come to your house to pray, I know that without your loving kindness and the strength that you give me, I could not be worthy of standing before you. Therefore, I will bow down towards your holy temple in fear and submission. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Hashem necheini b'tzidkosechom l'man shoruroi hayishar l'fanai darkecho. O Hashem, lead me in your righteousness because of them that lie in wait for me, make your way straight before me. It is the way of the evil inclination in man to teach him that the straight path is crooked and that the crooked path is straight. So David, please, lead me in your righteousness because of them that lie in wait for me. Make your way straight before me. Let the path of truth appear to me as the straight path upon which I might walk. although I am not worthy of this kindness, do so because of them that lie in wait for me, on account of the wickedness of my enemies. Similarly, the scripture says, not so for your righteousness, or for the uprightness of your heart, do you go in to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations does Hashem your God drive them out from before you. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. Lead me in a straight path. Do so not in my own merits, but in your own righteousness. Lead me in your righteousness because of them that regard me with hatred. Make your way straight before me, lest they place obstacles and pits in my path to trap me. Let me not walk alone, lest it be too hazardous. Act because of them that lie in wait for me, and are eager to see me stumble by committing transgression. I beseech you, make your way straight before me. Do not let me stumble, and by wrongdoing blemish my good deeds. To what can this be compared? A poor man was to give his daughter's hand away in marriage to a very wealthy man, and he prepared simple garments to wear at the wedding. On the way there, however, the wedding party stopped at an inn where his garments were stolen. He was beside himself with anguish over the loss. Whereupon the wealthy father of the groom said to him, do not grieve yourself. I have other garments prepared for you. At the wedding feast, the father of the bride was still very upset over the loss of his wedding garments. So they said to him, why do you still worry? Had the parents of the groom seen the garments that you had prepared, they would not have liked them. They would have considered them as being beneath their status. It's better for you not that now they will never see those garments. Similarly, David asked Hashem that his deeds be without blemish. The angels in heaven will then behold his good deeds and the mitzvahs he has fulfilled, which are the garments of the soul, and he will be looked upon with favor. Lead me in your righteousness because of them that lie in wait for me. I ask to be spared all wrongdoing, for there are many who look up to me, and they will learn from my deeds. For their sake, make your way straight before me. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Ki ein befihu nechona kirbam huvos kever pesuach geronam neshonam yachlikum. For there is no sincerity in their mouth, their inward part is malice, their throat is an open grave, their tongue slippery. For there is no sincerity in their mouth. This is King David's reply to those who might point to the fine way his adversaries speak to him. The singular, the word befihu in his mouth conveys the meaning that not even one of them speaks the truth. Rather, their inward part, their thought, is sinful. Their throat is an open grave. All their smooth words are designed to cast them into the grave. Their tongue is slippery with deviousness. Just because they do not reveal their schemes is no reason to be fooled into believing that what they say is the truth. Their throat is an open grave. Even after they have swallowed their victims with vile gossip, their throat remains open with more of the same. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Ha'ashimim elokim yipdu mimo'atosehem v'rov pish'ehem hadichemo kimoru vav. Condemn them, O God, let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out for their many crimes, for they have rebelled against you. Condemn them and punish them. David cries out. Some interpret Ha'ashimim in the sense of astonish them, as it says a pasuk in Eov, Job, that they come after will be astonished, nishmo, at this day. Let them fall by their own counsels. When you frustrate their plans, they will look at one another with astonishment. Cast them out for their many crimes. Dispose them from their high positions for having rebelled against you. When the wicked man is trapped by his own actions and suffers the fate that he had intended for the righteous man, all see it as an act of divine providence. Accordingly, David says, condemn them, O Hashem, let them fall by their own counsels, suffer the same fate they intended for others. Cast them out for their many crimes, for they have rebelled against you. Cast them out through those very crimes they wanted to perpetuate against the Sodom. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Ve'yismuchu v'kolchosei v'ach le'olam yiraneinu v'soseich olemo v'yalzu b'cho ove shemecha. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, and let those who love your name exalt in you. Let all who take refuge in God rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because he protects them. Let those who love his name exalt in him. Our sages teach that three righteous men recited three different verses at the moment of death. One said, "Let all who take refuge in you rejoice." Another said, "For this let every man of piety pray to you in a time when you may be found." The third one said, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand," as we're going to learn later on in chapter 84. Some declare that he said, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness which you have laid up in secret for them that fear you." Also found later on in Tehillim. Chapter 5, Pasuk 13. Ki ato tevorech tzadik Hashem katzino rotzorn ta'atrenu. For you will bless the righteous man, O Hashem. You will encircle him with favor as with a shield. Please turn tape over to side B. David ends this psalm by declaring, "For you will bless the righteous man, O Hashem. You will encircle him with favor as with a shield." When God answers a man's prayer favorably, he surrounds him with a protective shield. In another sense, based on Ratzon as will, David says, "Even if a man only wanted to do a good deed, recorded as if he had in fact done it, he has become worthy enough that you should remove all obstacles which prevent him from serving you in perfect worship." Then again he says, "When you, O Hashem, bless the righteous man, he is happy with his portion. It is as if you had encircled him with favor. Not so the wicked. When he possesses 100, he desires 200. The letters of its own spell snore, a pipe or conduit. The blessings of abundance for the house of Israel come mostly on account of the tzaddik among them. The Midrash says, it is the way of human affairs that one man will present a gift of gold to another man, but then robbers will come and relieve him of the gold. Behold what has become of the gift. It is otherwise when you, O Lord, grant your gifts. Your blessing not only stays with the righteous man, but the gift itself becomes a protective shield about him." Now we go to chapter 6, Pasuk 1. Lamnatzeach ben ginos al hashminis mizmor leDavid, for the conductor with neginos instrumental music upon the shminis eight-string instrument, a psalm of David. David composed this psalm in the midst of his illness and pain, praying for deliverance and life. He describes the many tears he shed. He also addresses his human enemies. "Do not gloat with joy at my affliction. Your joy will turn to frustration and shame when God at last heeds my plea." Psalm also hints at the suffering and martyrdom of the Jewish people for the sanctification of God's name throughout the ages. Thus the Medrash says, "To what can the curses be likened?" This is found in Chumash Devarim. "Compare it to a king who was angry at his son and swore to take the sword in his hand and pass it across his son's throat, but he regretted his oath. If I pass the sword across his throat and he loses his life, there will be no heir to succeed me." What did he do? The king placed the sword in his sheath and then passed it across the son's neck. Similarly, Hashem, the God of Israel, will temper the attribute of stern justice with the attribute of mercy. Some explain that this psalm was composed after David had taken the census of the people and a pestilence followed. Thus the scripture says there, and David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people, and David said to Hashem, I have sinned greatly. Then David and the elders clothed in sackcloth fell on their faces. This is all found in Shmuel Beis and in Divrei Hayomim. But then Hashem answered David's plea to spare the rest of the people. The psalm begins for the conductor with the ginos upon the Shmimnis. It was composed on an eight-string harp called Shmimnis. Thus it says, and Matizyohu and Elifiyohu with harps on the Shmimnis to conduct, a pasuk that is found in Divrei Hayomim. Others are of the opinion that this describes a haim of eight stanzas. According to the Talmud, David recited this psalm in celebration of the mitzvah circumcision. It includes the musical modes of Netzuach, Nigun, and Zemer, so as to enhance its joyousness for the mitzvah of circumcision was the commandment which the Jewish people welcomed with a special joy. David knew, of course, what had happened to Moshe when he was amiss in fulfilling this commandment, as we find in Chumash Shmos, and how finally he was saved from anger and wrath by performing the circumcision. Here he says here, O Hashem, rebuke me not in your anger, nor chasten me in your wrath, which we'll learn doing that in the next pasuk. Some say that Al Hashminis, literally upon the eighth, refers to the fact that the commandment of circumcision was the eighth commandment that God gave to man. He first gave seven mitzvahs to mankind generally, the Bnei Noach, followed by the commandment of circumcision to Avraham. The significance of eight is also explained as follows. It is known that prayer atones for sin, each prayer service reducing a man's sins by half. Now, since we recite the Shmoneh Esrei prayer three times a day, where we ask Hashem to forgive us, Slach Lonu, this accounts for 7/8 of our sins. 1/2 plus 1/2 or 1/2 plus 1/2 or 1/4. There remains 1/8 that is unatoned for. And so David composed the present psalm upon the eighth string as a prayer of atonement for this remaining fraction. Another interpretation says that David composed the psalm as a prayer regarding his illness. He intended it as a prayer for any person in despair on account of illness. Many other psalms are also simply prayers and entreaties prepared by David for every supplicant. It's also suggested that David may have said this prayer during the time that he was stricken with leprosy. There is a difference of opinion whether it was 6 months or 6 years. During all that time, he had to remain isolated in the Beis Chofshit, and the Sanhedrin departed from him. He prayed for mercy, let those that fear you return to me, and was absolved in his defilement. However, it took 6 months before he was completely healed. He prayed to be able to accept his suffering with love, lest he be shamed and confounded, as we will learn in a few psukim now. This psalm has been incorporated as part of the Tachanun prayer of prostration before Hashem that is recited daily. Appropriately is to be prefaced by, to you, O Hashem, do I lift up my soul, Eilecha Hashem Nafshi Esa, and by the prayer of contrite admission, merciful and gracious one, we have sinned before you, Rachum Bechanun Chotosi Lefanecha. This psalm is also a suitable prayer that is to be recited before embarking on the journey for the world to come. Some commentators note that David became gravely ill after the Bathsheba episode, and the present psalm was his prayer for healing. But besides referring to his illness, the enemies of his body, David also refers to his many human enemies who embittered his life. This pained him more than his illness. Thus he prayed to be saved from two kinds of adversaries, the foul fluids of his devastating illness within, and his human foes without. Accordingly, he goes on to say, O Hashem, rebuke me not in your anger, that is at the hand of his human adversaries who are furious with him, nor chasten me in your wrath, that is through the hidden rage inside his body. place of the anger and wrath, he pleaded, "Let the Almighty bless him as the Father would bless his Son." Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Hashem al be'abchoso kicheni v'al bechamoschoso yasreni. O Hashem, rebuke me not in your anger, nor chasten me in your wrath. O Hashem, rebuke me not in your anger, although suffering is for the good of the person. I ask to be spared the affliction of both anger and wrath. Although rebuke is easier than affliction, anger is worse than wrath. So I ask, rebuke me not in your anger, but I also ask you not to chasten me in your wrath, because suffering is worse than rebuke. According to the Medrash, the congregation of Israel says to the Holy One, blessed be He, Master of the world, although it says about me, Him that Hashem loves, He corrects, a pasuk found in Mishlei, still rebuke me not in your anger. Instead, pour out your wrath upon the nations that know you not, a pasuk found in Yirmiyahu. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3, Choneni Hashem, ki umulal oni rufaini Hashem, ki nevhalu atzamoy. Favor me with grace, O Hashem, for I languish. Heal me, O Hashem, for my bones shake with fright. David does not complain that his affliction exceeds his deserved punishment, rather than he has exhausted his capacity for suffering and can bear no more. If he were to die now, all his suffering will have been pointless. For in death there is no remembrance of you, in the grave who will acclaim you? As we will learn very soon, this pasuk. Favor me with grace, O Hashem, for I languish. To what can this be compared? Says the Medrash, a man was kidnapped by outlaws, and they all began to beat him, some with pieces of wood, others with rocks, and some with their fists. When they finally released him, he reached home, lay down on his couch, and began to cry out, "Oh my bones, oh my bones!" Similarly, the Jewish people have repeatedly been subjected to terrible ordeals of suffering. When they finally reach the house of Hashem, may do speedily in our day, they will say to Hashem, "Favor me with grace, O Hashem, for I languish." Another interpretation says, when an accused man is sentenced to flogging, it is first estimated how many lashes he can bear. If the maximum number of 39 lashes would be too much for him, a smaller number is administered in accordance with his physical condition. Similarly, King David asked Hashem to favor him with grace because he was umlal, devoid of strength, and too much would kill him. All his suffering will then have been without any purpose. I've come to the gates of death, and no healer can heal me. Only you can favor me. Even my usually hardened and tough bones have been overcome by sickness, and they shake as if with fright. If this is true of my bones, how much more so of my flesh? My bones shake with fright. They have already lost all sensation of pain, and there's no longer any purpose in suffering. Pasuk Dali, Pasuk 4. Menachi nevhalem ma'od v'ato Hashem ad mosor. My soul is in great dread, and you, O Hashem, how long? My soul possesses intelligence and knows better than my body the severity of my illness. Therefore it is in great dread. So, O Hashem, how long will you still delay to heal me? A bit more and I die, and then there will be no one left whom to heal. And you, O Hashem, how long? A sick patient was waiting for his doctor to appear. When will he be here today? He kept worrying. Will he be here at 10, at 11, or at 2 in the afternoon? Finally, the physician arrived just as the sun was setting. Had you waited any longer, the patient said to him, my soul would have left me. Similarly, David says, my soul is in great dread, and you, O Hashem, the healer, have delayed your coming. Now heal me, O Hashem, for my bones shake with fright. As we learned in the previous pasuk. Regarding the suffering of the body, he said, my bones shake with fright. And regarding the suffering of the spirit, he said, my soul is in great dread. It is more afflicted than the body. I accepted my suffering with love. David says, so long as it did not injure my soul, and I could continue my work, but now it is different, for my soul is in great dread. The suffering has also reached my soul, and therefore I cry out to you, O Hashem, how long? The scripture says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a broken spirit who can bear? A pasuk that's found in Sefer Mishlei, Proverbs. And if anybody is interested, the complete Mishlei with Ma'am Lois is available on 34 tapes or CDs. A man's spirit sustains his body and enables it to bear suffering. But if the spirit too is stricken, how can one bear illness? Accordingly, David says here, Master of the world, do not depend on my soul to enable me to bear my illness, for she is in great dread, more so than the body, and I cannot bear the suffering. David addresses the Shechina, the divine glory that is to be found over the head, over every sick person. And you, O Hashem, how long? How much longer will you permit the angel of affliction to smite me? Say to him at once, it is enough, now stay your hand. The pasuk that's found in Shemuel Beis. My soul is in great dread. David beheld the angel of death, his sword bared in his hand, as found in Divrei Yomim, and his blood froze in terror. Pasuk 5. Shuva Hashem chaltson nafshi hoshieni leman chastecho. Return, O Hashem, deliver my soul, save me as befits your loving kindness. Return, O Hashem, deliver my soul. Turn away from your fierce anger. Pasuk that's found in the Chumash Amos. And as befits your loving kindness, save me from my illness for the sake of your name. Deliver me not on account of my righteousness, for I know that you do not merit so much, but out of your loving kindness. You are distant from me now, so return, O Hashem, deliver my soul, save me from my affliction. Thus David did not say, as did King Hezekiah when he prayed for recovery from his illness, remember now, O Hashem, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and a whole heart, and have done that which is good in your sight. A pasuk that's found in the Lachem Beis. David is also saying, although you can heal both the ills of my body and the ills of my soul, I plead mainly for my soul. Deliver my soul from death, for its affliction is a greater peril. Thus the scripture says elsewhere, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation, neither is there any health in my bones because of my sin. And it concludes, O Hashem, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you, which refers principally to the soul. Although I am not worthy of all the mercies, save me as befits your loving kindness. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Kein b'moves zichrecho b'sh'ol mi yodelach. For in death there is no remembrance of you, in sh'ol, grave pit, who will acclaim you? I do not ask healing for the sake of my body, but only that I should be able to acclaim you with my body and my soul. For in death there is no remembrance of you, in the grave, who will acclaim you? In the grave, the body will not praise you. Thus King Hezekiah said, the living, he shall praise you. A pasuk is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. It is proper for the living to receive blessings from the living. David says, the purpose of your creation is for men to acknowledge your beneficence. But if I die, I will not be able to acclaim this. Similarly, he goes on to say, what profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise you? Shall it declare your truth? So we will learn this pasuk later on, chapter 30. For in death there is no remembrance of you. This pertains to the soul. It cannot fulfill the commandments after death. And the grave, who will acclaim you? Pertains to the body, which lies in the grave like a silent stone. Then again, David says, as it is not your purpose to be vengeful, nor that your name be linked to evil, and there is no performance of mitzvahs in the grave. Return, O Hashem, deliver my soul by giving me life and health. Sha'ul also carries the connotation of the pit or veil of suffering. Out of that pit, who will acclaim you? Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk 7. Yogati b'anchosi ascha b'chol laylo mitosi b'dimosi arsi amse. I am weary with my groaning. All the night I make my bed swim. I melt away my couch with my tears. I am weary with my groaning, for I had suppressed the limit of my suffering. Even I who sing at the loving kindness and who sing at the severe judgment, I can no longer sing to you. I can only groan. This is found later on in chapter 101. In another sense, David pined over his sins at night, a time for repose, and during the day he was weary with groaning. My suffering has doubled and quadrupled because I have fallen into a state of melancholy and groaning. The divine presence does not rest upon a person in the midst of depression and anger, and so he cannot accept his suffering with love. The night is a time when an illness becomes more severe. And so all the night I make my bed swim. I melt away my couch with my tears. A man is usually eased by loud groaning, but I am weary, made even more weary with my groaning. And I make my bed swim, eshcha. My tears are so profuse on every side of me that I swim in them like a man swimming in a pool of water. I melt away my couch with my tears as with a stream of water. The Tana de Velio says, when King David was old and stricken in years, as we find in Melachim Aleph, he lay ill in bed for 13 years. Every day, 7 cushions were changed from under him because of the quantities of fluids that his body emitted. Hence the connotation of Arsi Amsa, I melt away my poisons. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Asher saw mikas eini oska b'chol tzorah. My eye is wasted by vexation. It has grown weak because of all my adversaries. My eye sees as if through a faulty glass. David says, some explain Osusa as rotten. My eye has rotted, wasted away. It has grown weak because of all my adversaries, grown old and feeble, dimming the light. Another meaning of Oska is torn away, in the sense of he removed by Osik from there his tent, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis. David was torn with vexation when he saw his enemies rejoice at his suffering. Some perceive the following subtle interpretation. The singer complains that on the one hand my eye is wasted, as if I were seeing through an unclear lens, but it grows strong, Oscar, when it sees all my adversaries, it sees them clearly. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Suru mimeni kol poale oven kishoma Hashem kol bichi. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for Hashem has heard the voice of my weeping. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Shoma Hashem techinosi Hashem techinosi yikach. Hashem has heard my supplication. Hashem accepts my prayer. David now turns upon his enemies who crowd near to see him in his misery. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for Hashem has heard the voice of my weeping. Because he found his prayer flowing readily from his lips, it was a sign that Hashem had heard his plea. The voice of my weeping, my words of supplication for Hashem's grace that I uttered in the midst of my crying and tears were answered, for the gates of tearful entreaty are never closed. David goes on to say, unlike in that story of the slave, whose appeal to the king was granted because the king desired to be rid of his presence, Hashem has heard my supplication. The Lord accepts my prayer. Not only has Hashem heeded my prayer, but he will also continue to accept my prayer in the future. Thus we find in the scripture that David would shed tears when in trouble, as it says, and David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went up. A pasuk that's found in Shemuel Beis. I pleaded that my prayer be heard, and Hashem has heard that plea. David addresses his enemies as workers of iniquity. They persisted in their wrongdoing. although he had also sinned, as in the case of Bathsheba, our sages declare that it was not worthy of him. It took place in order to show the way of repentance for others. If a man has sinned, let him not despair. Behold, David, he is told. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for Hashem has heard the voice of my weeping. To what can this be compared? A very wealthy man bought garments of great value for his son. The lad put on the garments and went outside to show them off to his friends. He leaped into a puddle of water and soiled them all. I better go and tell my father that I ruined what he has given me. Let me do so before others tell him about it. When he presented himself to his father and confessed, the father forgave him. Similarly, the singer says here to his accusers, Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for Hashem has heard the voice of my weeping. Hashem has heard the voice of my supplication. Not the physicians, but he has healed me. Hashem accepts my prayer, now and at any time in the future. Then again, the pasuk seemed to read, Hashem has heard my supplication, that Hashem accept my prayer. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Yevo shuv yibohalu me'od kol oyovoy yoshuvu yevo shu roga. All my enemies will be shamed, and they will be stricken with dread. They will be confounded in an instant. Now that Hashem has heard the voice of my weeping, all my enemies who wanted to come near to see me die will be shamed, and they will be stricken with dread. They say, now that he lies down, he will rise no more. As we will learn later on in Tehillim, chapter 41. So when they will return to see me again, they will not believe the sight of their eyes. They will be confounded in an instant. In another sense, the verse says, if they will turn back, repent, then their shame will only be for an instant in this world. Better that they be ashamed for an instant in this world than that they suffer prolonged shame in the world to come. Another interpretation says, David prayed for the endeavors of his enemies to fail, since they would then turn back to the path of righteousness. They will be confounded in an instant, and the shame of it will keep them from further transgression. It is the way of arrogant men that the instant they are embarrassed by their deeds, they harden their hearts and ignore the shame. Accordingly, David asked that all my enemies will be shamed, and they will be stricken with dread. Although they reject the shame, they will turn back, they will be confounded in an instant. The shame should assail them every moment. Some commentators elicit a subtle reading of the present verse based on the following teaching of our sages. In the future, Hashem will place a Torah scroll in his bosom and invite all those who had fulfilled the dictates of the Torah to come forward to receive their reward. All the nations will then come together to declare, Give us the Torah now, we will fulfill it. Whereupon Hashem will give them the commandment to dwell in the sukkah. But he will then take the sun out of its sheath. It will be a very hot day, causing them to kick over the sukkah and depart. Thus David says, describing these events, First, all his enemies will turn back, repent, but then they will be confounded. They will be shamed for having abandoned the sukkah. In that instant, Hashem's wrath will be kindled against them, and they will be doomed. As it says, Therefore will his calamity come suddenly, forward will he be broken, and that without remedy. Pasuk that's found in Mishlei. The present psalm contains 11 verses, the same as the number of spices contained in the incense offering. Now we go to chapter 7, Pasuk 1. Shigoyon le David asher shor la Hashem al dirvechush ben yimini. Shigoyon of David, which he sang to Hashem concerning Cush, a Benjaminite. In this psalm, David gives thanks for having been saved from the hands of Shaul. In the previous psalm, he said, My soul is in great dread, and you, O Hashem, how long? For he was in acute distress. Now he offers praise to Hashem for his deliverance. He calls Shaul Cush, just as a black Ethiopian Cushite does not change the color of his skin. So Shaul did not relent in his determination to strike at David, even after his own son Yonasan had interceded on his behalf. David did not want to mention him by name, but only as a Benjaminite, a descendant of the tribe of Benjamin, because he was about to speak harsh words against him. David composed this psalm after he had cut off a piece from Saul's cloak. Although Saul then said, "You are more righteous than I, for you have rendered me good, whereas I have rendered you evil," as we find this pasuk found in Shmuel Aleph, he continued to pursue him, so David pleaded for God's continued protection in the future. According to one interpretation, Shigoyon is the name of a musical instrument. Our sages, however, explain that it means Aram, an allusion to David's Aaron having rejoiced in song over Saul's downfall. Again, this is found in Shmuel Beis. David here expresses his contrition. Thus, the Talmud says, Zutra, the son of Tuvia, was reading the scripture before Reb Yehuda. When he came to the verse, "Now these are the last words of David," as found in Shmuel, Reb Yehuda said to him, "It says the last words," which means that there were first words. What were these first words? That is the song of David. As it says, "And David spoke to Hashem the words of this song in the day that Hashem delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of all the hand of Saul," a pasuk found in Shmuel again, whereupon God said to him, "You utter song for the downfall of Saul, but had you been Saul, born to his fate, and he, David, born to your fate, I would have destroyed any number of Davids before him. So much more righteous is he than you." Accordingly, the scripture says here, "Error of David that he sang to Hashem concerning Cush the Benjaminite. Is then his name Cush? His name is Saul. Rather, just as the color of a Cushite skin is different black, so was Saul different in his righteous deeds. Now why Shigoyon, error? It was reckoned as an error on his part, rather than a wrong willfully committed, because a man is not held accountable for actions committed while suffering." In other words, David says to Hashem, "Do not make my inadvertent sins into deliberate sins." According to the interpretation that David regretted having sung at the downfall of Saul, here he expresses his contrition by recalling that Saul had dealt mercifully with him by allowing him to depart unharmed. However, he pleads that God in his mercy save him from his other enemies who lurk to destroy him. "Let their mischief be turned upon their own heads, and their violence come down upon their own skulls," as we'll learn later on in this chapter. Based on the eulogies that David delivered after the death of Saul and his two sons, as we see in Shmuel, Sefer Shmuel, we know how deeply distressed and grieved he was by the death of Saul, the chosen of Hashem. We will continue Mitzvah Hashem in our next shir. We are learning Sefer Tehillim with the Perish Ma'am Loes by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. This is shir number 3. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 4, Pasuk 8. I'm going to repeat the Pasuk. Nosato Simcha Belibi Be'eis Degonim Besiroshim Rabu. You have put gladness in my heart since when their grain and their wine increase. Many live in a state of unrelieved despondency, weighed down by a perpetual sense of having been deprived. Consequently, they are continually pursuing the vanities of this world in a desperate endeavor to fill their lack. The contrary is true of me. You have put gladness in my heart since when their grain and their wine increase. This happy trait of mine is also from you. You have put gladness. Because I'm glad when even my enemies enjoy the good, my sleep is sweet, as found the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. I do not fear their hatred, for I place my trust in you alone, O Hashem. The present verse is also interpreted in accordance with the following episode about the Ramban. When he went up to Yerushalayim and beheld its plentiful fruits, he was anguished to see the land giving off its bounty to others. He approached the western wall and cried out, "Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, you are like a nursing mother whose own son has taken ill. To keep her milk from spoiling, she is compelled to nurse other infants until such time that her own child will be healed and resumes feeding. So also you, O holy city, so long as your sons were with you, you fed them right out of your great abundance. If now you continue to feed others, it is a sign of a hope that your own sons will return to you." Simba King David says here, "You have put gladness in my heart since when their grain and their wine increase." Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. B'shalom yachtov eshkevo ve'ishan ki ato Hashem levodot levetach toshiveni. In peace I will gather together, both lie down and sleep, for you Hashem alone make me dwell in security. Speaking of the many who oppose him at this time, including the people who abandoned him and joined Avshalom, David expresses a longing to live in peace with them. In peace will I together lie down and sleep. How I yearn to be at peace with them. We shall both then be able to lie down and sleep in an untroubled sleep. I know that this will take place. They will return to me, for you, Hashem, alone make me dwell in security. I am firm in my trust that you will grant my desire and make me dwell in security even with them. Then again, David says, "Although my enemies are near and another man in my place would be unable to sleep out of fear, in peace will I both lie down and sleep. Even though they are so near that they are together with me, yet will I sleep peacefully. For you, Hashem, alone, I love no one else but you. Make me dwell in security. I am assured that you will watch over me, and I do not fear them." Having offered a prayer for light, King David also asked to be worthy of the gift of peace. Similarly, the priestly benediction includes a benediction for both light and peace, as it says in Chumash Bamidbar, "May Hashem place His countenance upon you and give you peace." It's one of the three psukim, three verses that's found in the Birchas HaKohanim. He asked for the serenity of being able to lie down and sleep, both. That is, let him fall asleep immediately upon lying down. "May God make me dwell in security even when I'm alone. For when there is peace for the many that dwell together, there's also peace for the individual." Hence the special emphasis of the literal reading in peace together. "When those who are together are at peace, I will lie down and sleep. How? For you, Hashem, when I'm alone, make me dwell in security." David says further, "Even when I will be alone in the grave, you will make me dwell in security." According to the teaching of our sages, that David, king of Israel, lives and endures, David is saying, "My body will not be touched by worms." David hints that before he retires to his couch, he forgives his enemies. He does not permit the curses of his enemies to enter his bed with him. Then again, in continuation of the previous verse, he says, "Whenever the grain and wine increase, there is peace in the world. As it says, 'And I will give peace in the land, and you will lie down, and none will make you afraid.'" A pasuk that's found in Chumash Vayikra. Accordingly, the scripture says here, "When the grain and the wine increase in peace, will I together lie down and sleep." When there is an abundance in the world, it is a sign that the leaders of the generation are tzaddikim. The opposite is true about the wicked, as it says, "And it was in the days of the judging of the judges," a pasuk that's found in Rus. Our sages comment there was a time when the judges were being judged by their generation. Consequently, the same verse concludes, "And there was a famine in the land." Now we come to chapter 5, pasuk 1. Namnetzeach el hanchilos mizmor de David, for the conductor upon the nechilos, the flutes, the psalm of David. King David declares his trust in Hashem, who watches over the righteous and abominates the wicked. He asks for divine guidance and assistance to smooth the way before him, and calls for retribution against the wicked. He declares his belief that the greatest good is reserved for the tzaddik. The psalm opens with, for the conductor upon the Nechilos. One interpretation is based on the meaning of Nechilos as swarms. David offers a prayer that is directed against the vast armies which come upon Israel like swarming bees. Others explain that the sound they make was like the buzzing of bees. According to the Medrash, it refers to the murmurings against them by Doeg and Achitophel. Then again, the Chilos is understood as the plural of Nachal inheritance. David sings of the two aspects of his inheritance, the Davidic line of royalty in this world and in the world to come. Some link Nechilos to the meaning of Nachla as painful, as it says, "My wound is grievous." The pasuk that's found in Yirmiyahu. The scripture conveys that David accepted his afflictions with joy. The Medrash says that four psalms should probably have been sung by Adam, but instead were sung by David. They are "The earth is Hashem's, and the heavens proclaim the glory of Hashem." That's chapter 24 and chapter 19, because Adam is the first to behold the heavens and the earth, the present psalm upon inheritances, because he was the first to take possession of the world, and the psalm of song for the Shabbos, chapter 92, because he was the first to experience the Shabbos. Pasuk base, Pasuk 2. Amorai ha'azina Hashem bino ha'gigi. Give ear to my words, O Hashem, consider my meditation. The previous verse introduced the present psalm, which now properly begins with a plea. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. David says, when I have the strength to ask that you grant my needs, give ear to my words, and when I do not have the strength to entreat you, consider my meditation, understand the musings of my heart. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Hakshiva lekol shavi malki velohoi ki elecha espalo. Hearken to the voice of my cry, O my King and my God, for you, to you I will pray. The psalm continues as King David asks God to attend to the voice of my cry. Hearken to the voice of my cry in the merit of my total trust in you alone. The scripture teaches every man in trouble to speak directly to Hashem. Often we are so overcome by illness that we fail to know its cause, and then we plead before God to attend to us and make known our deficiency. As Daniel said, O Lord, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and behold our desolations. The pasuk that's found in Sefer Daniel. It is not enough for me that I turn to him in prayer. I ask that he himself look to see us. When the physician looks at a patient, it makes the patient feel that he's receiving better treatment, since the physician sees more in a direct examination. Similarly, David says, my soul thirsts for God. When will I come and appear before Hashem? God knows my deficiency better than I do, so I will cry out to him and entreat him through prayer. Hearken to the voice of my cry, O my King and my God. Prayer affirms our faith in the reality of divine providence, for we acknowledge that God acts in accordance with his will. Thus it is wrong to say while praying, I am not worthy that my prayer be heard, for the Holy One, blessed be he, responds to prayer not as a kind of reward for merit, but out of loving kindness. Hashem accepts the plea even when the petitioner is not worthy. Thus David says here, hearken to the voice of my cry, simply because I turn to you in prayer. Then people will know that you are my King and my God. My King, you attend to prayers like a king attending to the needs of his people, and like a king you can do anything you want to do. My God, you are omnipotent in accordance with your will. You can act on behalf of anyone even when he does not deserve it. But to you I pray. You are the source of loving kindness and will answer me out of loving kindness. Hearken to the voice of my cry. Answer my prayer because it is expressed with devout intention and perfectly enunciated. Heed my plea because I beseech you with the voice of my cry. That is crying in a voice of submission and with a broken spirit. but answer me too, because you are my God, and because my prayer is to you. I appeal directly to you and not to any intermediary. Then again, David says, hearken to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I pray, not only in times of trouble, but also in times of well-being. Thus the scripture says about one who prays to God only when he's in trouble, for they have turned their back on me, not their faces, but in time of their trouble they will say, arise and save us. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yirmiyahu. The Talmud says, honor the physician before you have need of him. As it says, Hashem is close to all of them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. As we will learn later on in chapter 145. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Hashem, boke tishma koli, boke erach l'chov atzapet. O Hashem, in the morning you will hear my voice, in the morning will I set my prayer before you, and I will look forward. O Hashem, in the morning you will hear my voice. I call you in the morning, a time set aside for the wicked to be judged, as it says, morning by morning will I destroy all the wicked of the land. It's a pasuk that's found in Sefer Tehillim, chapter 101. In the morning will I set my prayer before you, and I will look forward to see your judgment executed. The singer declares, your way is not like the ways of flesh and blood. To wait for an act of loving kindness from a human being is to wait many seasons, and even then it is not certain that one's wish will be granted. But you, O Hashem, in the morning you hear my voice, and in the very same morning I set before you, I look forward, I expect your deliverance at once. David says, I rise in the morning to offer my prayers. In the morning you are ready to welcome my desire, my prayer to you. However, first will I set before you, and I will look forward. I will delay for an hour in order to examine and arrange and prepare what I will say to you. Only after this delay will I pray to you. Thus would all men of piety conduct themselves in ancient times. The literal meaning of the word erachom, I will evaluate, like we have in that pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'erach l'chov etzapim." David says, "I will behold your absolute greatness and compare it to my lowly state before you." Then, when my prayer rises out of the state of utter self-abnegation, its acceptance is assured. At other times during the day, a man's prayers are scrutinized to see if they are fit for acceptance, but not so in the morning. Not like man's measure is God's measure. Once a man has presented a gift to another man, it is no longer available to someone else. But it is otherwise when you, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice, and on another morning I set my prayer before you to receive what I have asked of you. Then again, David says, I suffer, but my afflictions do not cause me to neglect the study of Torah and my prayers. It is a sign that they are afflictions due to God's love for me. Thus he says here, O Hashem, in the morning you hear my voice, my prayer, and in the morning will I set before you, and I will look forward to suffering. O Hashem, in the morning you hear my voice, in the morning I set before you, and I look forward. The Talmud relates about Rabbi Yisra that before preparing his daily food from the provisions in his possession, he would ask God for sustenance. After concluding his regular prayers, he would declare, I will not prepare the food I have until you grant me food from the palace of the king. Similarly, David says, listen to my voice and my cry, my King and my Lord. For to you I pray, O Hashem, in the morning you hear my voice, and in the morning will I set before you, and I will look forward. Every morning we offer our prayers just as the sun emerges to shine upon the earth. Thereby we acknowledge that the heavens are the heavens of Hashem, but the earth he has given to the children of men. This is a pasuk that we're going to find later on in Sefer Tehillim, chapter 115. The morning prayer was said by Avram. After him, Yitzchak said the midday mincha prayer, when the sun was ready at his height. And Yaakov said the Marah prayers in the evening. They all affirm that the hosts of heaven carry out the will of their Maker. Similarly, David says here, O Lord, in the morning we hear